The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh boy, what a weekend, huh? Welcome to a Tuesday, everyone. I am Nicole Sandler, I believe, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com. Of course, heard on the Progressive Voices Network weeknights or Tuesday through Friday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Of course, we're at the mercy of my computer, which I completely redid this weekend. I reinstalled Windows, and that means everything was wiped clean. So then I went on a scavenger hunt trying to find all the files and hopefully put them back in the right places. I know a lot of the stuff is just missing. So I've rebuilt it the best I can. Hopefully all is working well. I see the chat room at NicoleSandler.com is up and running. Looks like YouTube is up and running. Yay. So that's all going well. It's a frightening day, isn't it? Not just because it's Halloween, but because of what's going on in our country. So yesterday morning, in between installing updates on the computer and running out into the other room to watch the TV, I saw the news about indictments for Paul Manafort and Rick Gates, and that George Papadopoulos, a name I had not really been aware of before, pleaded guilty. I saw the White House press briefing in which Sarah Sanders, why do we call her Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Her name is Sarah Sanders, right? Sarah Sanders, you know, if she wanted to keep the Huckabee, that would be one thing. Just saying, there's no hyphen there as far as I know. So Sarah Sanders just basically, well, did what she does every day, which is lie. Here's how a little bit of how late night TV covered the indictments.
Now, I know it's almost Halloween, but it really feels more like Christmas. Paul Manafort, you're just the first of many. 5 years in jail.
So Paul Manafort has now been charged with lobbying for the government of the Ukraine and not telling the U.S. government he did this. He's also been charged with laundering tens of millions of dollars into secret foreign bank accounts in remote island nations around the world, which basically makes Manafort one eye patch away from being a Bond villain. Straight up.
He is not handling this well. First, he tweeted, sorry, but this is years ago, before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign, but why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus? But then 3 minutes later, he added, also, there is no collusion! He is so bad at this. It's like getting pulled over and saying, I wasn't speeding, officer, and also, there's no cocaine in the glove compartment!
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like that. So you got Manafort, who you know is just a player, right? You know, you knew the minute you saw him that there was something off there. Now we find out today unequivocally Roger Stone admits that he's the one who recommended Manafort to the Trump campaign to come in and be their, whatever they called it, the chief, the CEO, the campaign manager, which is really what he was while he was there. What we're finding out now is he was laundering millions and millions of dollars through Cyprus And spending money on all sorts of outlandish things. One thing I found ridiculous is he has an apartment, the house they call it, but an apartment in Manhattan and one in Brooklyn. Now, that's overkill, really. If you're in Manhattan, you really don't need Brooklyn too. But apparently he also had Long Island and the D.C. area of Virginia. We saw that was the place that was raided in that pre-dawn raid. Plus, we have his buddy, his business associate, Rick Gates, whose name I wasn't aware of beforehand either. But it seems like Rick Gates has still, even after Paul Manafort's departure, Rick Gates has still had his grubby little hands in the White House. This is, you know, as many are saying today, this is just the beginning, right? That is, unless Trump gets his way. I keep seeing the media shouting out questions. Is Trump going to fire Robert Mueller? And the thing is, I'd wondered why. Like, why are they bringing this up now? Why put that out there when it hasn't been floated? Well, Greg Sargent at the Washington Post today has a column. Trump and his allies are laying the groundwork for a Saturday night massacre. Then I hear the experts, people who I do respect, saying, if that happens, we have a constitutional crisis. I don't think these people care if there's a constitutional crisis or not. I don't think they care if the country implodes, because that's what they're doing to us right now. You know, tomorrow is the day that the healthcare.gov exchanges go live, and millions of us will find out what we've been dreading finding out for the last few months. I'm afraid. I'm really frightened of looking and seeing, you know, what my insurance will cost me next year. And the thing is, we don't even know if what we're going to find on the exchange is the real thing because of Trump sabotage. And that's exactly what it is, sabotage. Then, do you know, today marks a month since the Children's Health Insurance Plan expired, CHIP, with no fanfare, no explanation. It's just gone. So, you know, my daughter is still on that, as are all kids up through their 18th year, if you qualify financially, which we do. But, you know, for this country, that's millions of children who pretty soon, if nothing is done, the funds are going to run out from that program. What could happen? They'd send us into a depression? Quite possibly. I don't think they care. The only good news that I see coming down the pike is that Trump is leaving the country for 10, as he tells us, 10 and a half days at the end of the week. Friday, he leaves on his Asian trip. Did you hear he said he's not going to the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea because it's cliche? Cliche? What's happening now with North Korea is anything but cliche. This man, this imbecile, this madman is goading the planet's other madman into a war, into a nuclear war. Again, I don't think he cares. I think he can't see beyond the nose on his face. It's really just frightening. You got Sarah Sanders denying that that the Manafort indictment had anything to do with the Trump campaign, which it actually didn't. If you read the indictment, and I'll be honest, I haven't read the entire 31 pages, but it had to do with his money laundering and his activities before he joined the campaign. But it's got to make you wonder why he joined the campaign in the first place. I mean, here was a guy who was lobbying for the Ukrainian government, the Russian favored Ukrainian government. He was lobbying, and then while Manafort was the chairman of the campaign, was during the convention when the platform, the Republican platform, the part of it dealing with Russia and Ukraine was conveniently changed. I wonder why, to go along with the Russian government's preferences on what they wanted us to do when it came to Ukraine. It's just frightening. Then to make matters worse, if that's not scary enough, last night on the Fox TV station, Fox so-called news, Laura Ingraham, I know that's not how you pronounce her name, but I know it must make her crazy. Laura Ingraham, her new show debuted. Yes, a new primetime show on Fox premiered. And her big, you know, gotcha, big special guest was John Kelly. And I won't call him general because he's not a general anymore. He's the White House chief of staff. And John Kelly was the guest. And he made the most inane comment I think I've ever heard.
Well, history's history. There's certain things in history that were not so good and other things that were very, very good. I would tell you that Robert E. Lee was an honorable man.
What?
He was a man that gave up his country to fight for his state, which in 150 years ago was more important than country. It was always loyalty to state first back in those days. It's different today. But the lack of an ability to compromise led to the Civil War.
No.
And men and women of good faith on both sides made their stand where their conscience had them make their stand.
Men and women on both sides made their stand where their conscience made their stand? What the fuck is he talking about? So there's John Kelly proving he is everything, you know, we thought Trump's choice for White House chief of staff would be. There were good people on both sides of the Civil War. This is what we've come to. I got to tell you, this morning on Velshi Rule, Stephanie Rule and Ali Velshi have a show on MSNBC. They had Roland Martin on. Roland Martin does a TV show in New York, so we don't get to see him in most of the country. But he let loose a rant on John Kelly that it's kind of lengthy, but it's really worth listening to. So take it away, Roland Martin.
I'm not going to allow 4 stars to allow Stuck on Stupid to simply go on.
Stuck
Here's
on
a man
stupid.
Who's utterly clueless. For him to say that, well, we could have compromised. Really? We did compromise. There was a thing called the United States Constitution. And you know what that said? If you're black, you're 3/5 of a human. What he should do is go read Lawrence Goldstone's book, Dark Bargain, where it details the compromises made with the South just to get the Constitution passed. Oh, you want to talk compromise? How about the Hayes-Tilden Compromise, which was never written down, called the Great Compromise of 1877, that ended the 12 years of Reconstruction, that ushered in Jim Crow, when they removed the federal troops from the last 3 remaining Southern capitals. We can talk about compromise, the fact that we had a Civil Rights Act of 1866 and one in 1875, and we didn't get another one until 1957, which was rather weak. How about compromise? We had 3 Reconstruction amendments, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment. But you know what? America didn't care about those constitutional amendments because of that 1877 compromise, which led to the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the Voting Rights Act of 65 and the Fair Housing Act of 68. And so I need John Kelly to actually go back and read a history book that my 12-year-old nieces are reading right now, because clearly he fell asleep in history.
I don't know if he fell asleep in history, but I'll tell you, my son, who's in the 6th grade, is reading that same history Roland's nieces are. What about Kelly's claim that 150 years ago, states were more important than country, and that he gave up his country to fight for the state of Virginia? Robert E. Lee, I'm talking about.
Well, guess what then? I want to see General Kelly defend anybody who's at ISIS. Because you know what they're doing? They're giving up country for their ideology. It's the same exact thing. See, this is how we normalize white supremacy. And then to say, well, we don't have an appreciation of history. See, then I love this whole deal about how, well, he was an honorable man. Really? There were abolitionists during that particular period who did not believe in slavery. So don't call them men of their time. But maybe General Kelly also didn't read this, which was from Wesley Norris, one of the slaves that he had, where he said that when we ran away, he asked, why do we run away? And we said, because we are free. He ordered us to be beaten, given 50 lashes. And then when one of his overseers wouldn't do it, he said he called Dick Williams, a county constable, who was called in to give us the lashes. And it was Lee who ordered the overseer to thoroughly wash our backs with brine, which was done. You call that honorable?
What about Kelly saying that is it fair to judge what happened in that time by the norms and morals and understandings that we have today?
I'm not judging it by the norms and the morals of today. I'm judging it by the norms and the morals of the abolitionists who were also white, individuals who did not believe in slavery, individuals who did not misconstrue and pimp and and degrade the Bible. There were men and women who were white, who were Americans, who did not believe in slavery. I'm not going to somehow just excuse this by saying, well, you know, they were imperfect human beings. It's not going to happen. And then, of course, I was watching Fox, listening to Fox and Friends this morning. They were saying, well, do we negate the Declaration of Independence because Thomas Jefferson owned slaves? Well, maybe we can, because he said the life and pursuit of happiness, that wasn't the case if you were slave. All men are made equal. That wasn't the case if you were slaves. We have too many people in this country who are white, who do not know history, who want to somehow glorify these Confederate leaders. And I'm telling you right now, they ain't my founding fathers, and they're not my leaders. And we need to have real history, not his story, but history. And I will say to John Kelly, shame on you. And also, you owe Congresswoman Wilson an apology for lying. Yep. Don't you dare stand there and talk about honor and sacred and how we treat women when you lied to the American people and you're not man enough to admit it.
Well, Martin, you don't have to be a man to tell the truth. There's plenty of women who know how to tell the truth. And it doesn't matter how you feel. The Civil War was about slavery. Yep. And I mentioned it earlier in that interview last night. John Kelly lied about Paul Manafort's relationship with President Trump. He lied about George Papadopoulos when he did what? So you can be a four-star general. It doesn't mean you tell the truth all the time.
And real quick, Laura Ingraham, you need to go read a history book too. Because if you let him lie like that in front of you, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Roland Martin is the host and managing editor of TV One's News One Now.
So News One Now, again, TV One on the air in New York City. So we don't get it around the rest of the country, but I would watch him. That was a hell of a rant. In my preparation for today's show, I somehow, for some reason, came across this. Republicans are dropping like flies. Orrin Hatch, it was announced the other day, I think yesterday, will not be running for re-election. And it looks like Mitt Romney will run for that Senate seat. By the way, Jeb Hensarling, I think of Michigan, also announced he will not run for re-election. Again, every day we get one or two more who say, I'm done. And you know they're done because of the crazy. I wish they would come out and say it's because of the crazy, but they won't. Instead, they just walk away. Anyway, Mitt Romney, the guy who's going to be running for Orrin Hatch's Senate seat from Utah, I want to play for you something that he said back in March of 2016. He obviously won't say it today, but we're going to make sure that these words are... Call Me Tripp says TV One comes on AT&T here. Are you sure it's TV One? Because there's some other so-called news channel that's all another right-wing channel. I guess you would know. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to remind you from time to time of what Mitt Romney said about Donald Trump. This is what we need Republicans to stand up and say now that he is president, not only before he became president.
Now, I'm far from the first to conclude that Donald Trump lacks the temperament to be president. After all, this is an individual who mocked a disabled reporter, who attributed a reporter's questions to her menstrual cycle, who mocked a brilliant rival who happened to be a woman due to her appearance, who bragged about his marital affairs, and who laces his public speeches with vulgarity. Donald Trump says he admires Vladimir Putin. At the same time, he's called George W. Bush a liar. That is a twisted example of evil trumping good.
You think? Well, George W. Bush was a liar, but that's besides the point. He pales in comparison to Trump.
There's a dark irony in his boasts of his sexual exploits during the Vietnam War.
You think?
While at the same time, John McCain, whom he has mocked, was imprisoned and tortured. Dishonesty is Donald Trump's hallmark. He claimed that he had spoken clearly and boldly against going into Iraq. Wrong. He spoke in favor of invading Iraq. He said he saw thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11. Wrong. He saw no such thing. He imagined it. He's not of the temperament of the kind of stable, thoughtful person we need as leader. His imagination must not be married to real power. The President of the United States has long been the leader of the free world. The President and, yes, even the nominees of the country's great parties helped define America to billions of people around the world. All of them bear the responsibility of being an example for our children and our grandchildren. Think of Donald Trump's personal qualities, the bullying, the greed, the showing off, the misogyny, the absurd third grade theatrics.
Of course, this was before Mitt Romney went to dinner with Donald Trump and tried to become his Secretary of State. This was before Donald Trump won the Electoral College to become president. Something still just so unbelievable to me. And certainly it was before Mitt Romney decided he's going to run for the U.S. Senate from Utah. We'll hold him to those words, I promise you. And that's what we need to keep doing. By the way, I'm told TV One is channel 328 on DirecTV, and it's also on Comcast 153. Who knew? I'll have to check it out and see if we can't get TV One here. Well, I'll look for it. All right, so all that is going on. It's enough to, you know, make your head spin. Yes, it is. Today's Tuesday. It's a scary Tuesday, and Gotta Laugh is here. So we'll take a quick break. We'll do What's News and come back with Laffy on the other side and check out her tweet spot, okay?
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and his business associate Rick Gates were indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of conspiracy and money laundering in connection with the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. The pair pleaded not guilty and were released on bail. Stephen Colbert explains.
Now, I know it's Halloween, but it really feels more like Christmas. Manafort, you're just the first of many. Shall I sing to the feds, Trump-a-pom-pom? The charges were actually filed on Friday, but they gave Manafort until today to turn himself in. Wow, we white people really do get arrested differently. Now, Manafort's been charged with 12 counts, including conspiracy to launder money, tax fraud, and conspiracy against the United States. What's that crime usually called again? I can't remember for some treason. According to the indictment, Manafort worked as an unregistered agent of the government of Ukraine and took in tens of millions of dollars, which he apparently spent on luxury items, including three Range Rovers and $849,000 at a men's clothing store. Now, he's under house arrest, again, white people, and prosecutors think he might be a flight risk. The evidence? They've asked that Manafort's bail be set at $10 million. Now, while we're on the subject, ladies and gentlemen, remember how the Trump campaign swore over and over they never knew of any attempt to coordinate with Russia? Well, how do I put this? Fake news.
About 90 minutes after the indictments were announced, came word of a guilty plea from former Trump campaign foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos. MSNBC has more.
Perhaps the most surprising development yesterday was the third man charged, one who has admitted to crimes and is cooperating with the government's investigation. George Papadopoulos admitted to lying to the FBI in its investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election. Yesterday's revelation shows he was arrested more than 3 months ago on July 27th and pled guilty on October 5th. A court filing says that Papadopoulos told the FBI that he had communicated with an overseas professor whom he understood to have substantial ties to Russian government officials before he became a foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign, and that Papadopoulos acknowledged that the professor had told him about the Russians possessing, quote, dirt on then-candidate Hillary Clinton in the form of thousands of emails, all before joining the campaign. But in truth, Papadopoulos learned he would be an advisor to the campaign in early March of 2016 and met the professor later due to his status with the campaign. The filing says the professor told Papadopoulos about the thousands of emails on or about April 26, 2016, after he had been a foreign policy advisor to the campaign for over a month.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about the indictments during the White House daily press briefing.
Today's announcement has nothing to do with the president, has nothing to do with the president's campaign or campaign activity. The real collusion scandal, as we've said several times before, has everything to do with the Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, and Russia. There's clear evidence of the Clinton campaign colluding with Russian intelligence to spread disinformation and smear the president to influence the election. We've been saying from day one there's been no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, and nothing in the indictment today changes that at all.
But the George Papadopoulos agreement is about the campaign. It is specifically about the campaign.
It has nothing to do with the activities of the campaign. It has to do with his failure to tell the truth. That doesn't have anything to do with the campaign or the campaign's activities.
But it is the clearest evidence yet of ties between the Trump campaign and Russian officials. So.
Again, there are no activities or official capacity in which the Trump campaign was engaged in any of these activities. Most of them took place well before the campaign ever even existed.
A federal judge on Monday temporarily blocked a White House policy barring military service by transgender troops, ruling that it was based on, quote, disapproval of transgender people generally. Judge Colleen Collar-Cotelli found the administration's justification for the ban, which was set to take effect in March 2018, to be suspect and likely unconstitutional. She ruled that the military's current policy should remain in place. White House Chief of Staff John Kelly appeared on Laura Ingraham's debut show on Fox Monday night and said he would not apologize to Congresswoman Frederica Wilson for lying about her appearance at a new FBI building dedication in South Florida. He also weighed in on Confederate monuments and the Civil War.
Robert E. Lee was an honorable man. He was a man that gave up his country to fight for his state, which in 150 years ago was more important than country. It was always loyalty to state first back in those days. Now it's different today. The lack of an ability to compromise led to the Civil War, and men and women of good faith on both sides made their stand where their conscience had them make their stand.
Actually, the Civil War was fought over slavery. Just saying. I got the news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
All right, it's this time of the week again. Every Tuesday, we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh to talk about the news and to check out her tweet spots and see what else is going on. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the It's Mueller Time hotline.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, press 1 if you think the thing that really gets to Trump about the indictment news is that he can't pronounce Papadopoulos. Press 2 if you think when Trump was asked about Manafort's indictment, you heard him quickly say, pardon? Press 3 if you think when Trump heard about the grand jury handing down indictments, he said, people tell me I have the grandest juries, that I can tell you, believe me.
I believe
have
it.
Have a nice day.
I believe it. You know, it's so funny because he certainly can't spell it, because in one tweet he wrote about George. Obviously, he can't
boy
spell
George.
Papadopoulos.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, he called him a boy. The fact that he has to say this was just somebody who we didn't pay. He also didn't pay Ivanka, Jared, Don Jr.
Right.
You
didn't
know,
pay any of them.
Yeah. But even to bring that up, that is completely irrelevant to what happened. What happened was that his campaign encouraged him to try to get with the Russians and get dirt on Hillary. It doesn't matter if he was paid or unpaid. He was with the campaign. Trump talked about him as an advisor. Mm-hmm. There's a photo of him at a round table, at a conference table.
Yep.
And they can't get away from it.
Yes. And yet what they're doing now is just lying. Here's a tweet from Digby. Normally, when a White House is in trouble, they don't lie blatantly from the podium. They say they can't comment on an ongoing investigation. I just saw that cross my timeline. I mean, and it's just stunning. But this is the, this is the lying White House. It doesn't matter. They, you know, they tell you the sky is green.
Right. Nothing matters. And what's really worrying me is that, as you mentioned about the Greg Sargent article, mm-hmm. I actually had it tabbed, but you covered it just great, is that the Republicans are trying to sabotage this entire investigation by going along with the Bannon line that Mueller is part of this and that he needs to be gotten rid of. And you haven't heard much of a peep. We heard some little minor thing that Lindsey Graham said there will be hell to pay if they try to get rid of Mueller if it's called for. They're not going to do anything unless they're somehow forced into it. And that's what scares me.
Yeah, it scares me, too, because unless they're forced into it, it's just like Trump calling fake news on any news that's not complimentary to him.
Right.
It's not even, you know, it's not even on misrepresenting anything. If they're not complimentary to him, it's fake news. He said something. I wonder if I have this clip here. Did I pull it to the side? I didn't.
Well, while you're doing that, he had a photo op this morning with him and a bunch of business people or something. I really wasn't paying too much attention, but it was the same thing. It was an ego fest. He'd go around the table and have them praise him. And anybody who doesn't praise him, and I even tweeted exactly what you just said, is fake. If you don't fawn, then you are disregarded as you were disposed of.
Right.
No. These people have no credibility because they don't love me.
You're right. And it was at that very photo op that he was talking about his tax cuts. He's even stopped calling it tax reform. He's just calling it tax cuts. But he's like, oh, the Democrats say it's, you know, only for the rich people. They don't know yet. He almost said it hasn't been written yet.
Right.
And he stopped short.
But it's
supposed to be out tomorrow. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Allegedly, it'll be released tomorrow. But he was talking about when I'm gone on my Asia trip. Well, here's the clip. It's 15 seconds. So don't worry. I won't assault your ears too much with his voice.
While I'm in Asia, members of my cabinet will be traveling all around the country, talking directly to taxpayers and focusing on the regional media,
regional,
which we find to be a much more credible media, to be honest with you. In fact, I found it to be incredible how good they are.
He doesn't even realize what an idiot he is and what he just said. He finds the regional media to be more credible. In fact, it's incredible. Incredible means unbelievable because they're lying to you. The regional media, he's talking, of course, about, you know, Sinclair stations.
Yes.
Because that's the new thing, having these, you know, local and regional stations that are run by Sinclair, that are owned by Sinclair, where they dictate the segments that have to be run that are pro-Trump that just lie to you.
Right. It's propaganda that's paid for, and you were forced to watch it if you watch that local news station.
That's right.
It is incredible.
Because it's not credible.
Sorry. Exactly. And if you're not aware, that this is propaganda, you'll be sitting there and listening to something that they're passing off as a news report when it is propaganda. And it's the low information voters or people who just aren't aware of what's going on that will be sucked into this and think, oh, look, this is a real news report.
Right. And that's what they're hoping for. That's their incredible local and regional news.
Subcredible.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, let's do Tweet Spot.
Okay, let's do
it. Let's do it.
Welcome to my Tweet Spot.
I almost played something really scary for you, but I lost it because when I rebuilt the whole computer. But the instead of tweet, I was going to play Tweety. You know, have Chris Matthews saying something stupid. Because it's Halloween.
I made some comment because, I know what it was. He had some Republican congresswoman on, Tweety did.
Yes.
And she was just filibustering. And she was backing Trump on everything. You know, I think they were talking about the indictments. And she was just filibustering her brains out, whatever brains she had, if she had any. And he would jump in occasionally and try to correct her. But basically, he led her. He let her just filibuster.
Wow.
And, you know, whether or not you like Joy Reid, disagree with her, or love her, she is terrific at stopping that in its tracks.
Yeah.
she won't let anyone get in there and lie. She'll stop. She won't let people say Democrat as an adjective.
Oh, good
She'll
for say, her. Good for her.
Yes, absolutely. So, I said you should have Joy Reid on whenever you have somebody like this on, because she would not let them get away with it as much as he did. He did try. I'll give him a little credit. And he threw in some facts, but it was a sort of a half-ass.
Well, then he's losing his touch, because he used to be really good at stepping on anybody who wanted to get a word in edgewise.
He still does that, but at the wrong times. I mean, he will jump in to get his opinion or his point across, all excited and lathered up as he gets. But when he has somebody on who talks a blue streak, he has backed off more than he used to. It drives me nuts. I can't watch it.
Because I think he's more one of them. I really do. I don't watch him. That's one show I do not watch.
No, right. I may have the picture up and see if I like the guest, but generally I don't watch it either. Anywho, okay, so tweets. So Trump tweeted yesterday. Sorry,
yes,
but this
he did.
Is your, oh, he, I'm sorry?
Yes, he did.
I can, for some reason when I'm talking, it cuts you out. So I keep missing what you're saying.
He
sure did.
I'll try not to step on you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, too. But we can both be sorry forever. But he was talking about the indictments, and he said, sorry, but this is years ago, before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign, but why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. And Alan Rosenblatt added, breaking, Trump admits that he hired a criminal to be his campaign manager. I know the best people.
Yes, he does. The best criminals. He knows the best criminals.
He does. He knows the best criminals ever. Okay, so on NBC firing Mark Halperin.
Which they did, by the way. They were the last ones to come to. They had suspended him early on.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until like late yesterday that they finally came out and just fired him. So Mark Halperin is now unemployed.
Thank God. Anyway, Spatula City.
He lost the ties to both HBO and Showtime. He lost his book publishing deal. I feel sorry for John Heilman, who seems like a good guy.
Yes. Yes.
But
I was
thinking
the same.
He's been his partner for all these years, and so I always wondered why, because Heilman does seem like a good guy, and Mark Halperin's always seemed like a dick.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but there's breaking news that a number of casualties have been reported after an apparent shooting incident in New York's Lower Manhattan.
Oh, my.
So I'm not sure what's going on there at all, but something terrible is. Oh boy. Every day there's another shooting, and every after every shooting we bring up, what about gun control? And
it's too
after
soon.
That we're told not to.
It's too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Oh boy. Anyway, so on Mark Halperin's being fired, my follower Spatula City said, this is bad news for NBC. Now who will they get to present false equivalencies between Democratic parking tickets and Republican treason?
Good question.
That was very clever.
Uh-huh.
Julian Sanchez, he's just a guy on Twitter who came into my stream somehow, said, it's a bad day when your best talking point is we unwittingly put a paid foreign agent in charge of our presidential campaign.
But they're not admitting it unwittingly as they are.
You know, they keep saying, it was so long ago. We hardly knew Manafort. He was just a campaign manager, but we hardly knew him. He wasn't even part of the campaign, except that his little activities continued not only through the campaign, but into this year.
Well, that's true. Yes,
and
they did.
And they just keep forgetting about that.
And the other guy, Rick Gates, he still had his fingers in the White House. He would visit. He had tentacles there.
Oof.
Yeah.
Had testicles there, too.
Yeah.
So Radley Balco of Washington Post said, if you think the indictment and arrest of the guy who ran your campaign vindicates you, perhaps you set the bar for yourself a little bit low.
How low can you go?
How low can you go? Just amazing tweets that were coming out of yesterday's news. Dan Frumkin, who used to be with the LA Times a long time ago, but he's a freelancer now with Intercept and Washington Post and all over the place. And he said, how fortunate for Sarah Huckabee Sanders that she's had so much practice lying.
No kidding. She's pretty good at it. It just rolls off her tongue. By the way, have you noticed, this may sound sexist of me, and I know we're not supposed to comment on people's looks and stuff, but did you notice she brought back Scaramucci's hair and makeup guy?
No, I did notice that. I mean, that, you know, there are some things you can't avoid. And I, my big thing is when people make fat jokes and make fun of people,
right,
instead of bringing up policy, right, because I think it's juvenile. But it is noticeable when somebody's looks change. And yes, I did notice when she drops her eyes, they're very black and she has long eyelashes.
It's the smoky eye. She's got the smoky eye.
I love the smoking eye,
but it's too much on her.
They overdid it.
Yeah. It's one thing if you're going out at night to a fancy dinner or a club or something, but when you're at the White House press podium, it's not the appropriate venue for the smoky eye, just saying.
No, right.
And the fake eyelashes are ridiculous. Sarah, ridiculous.
You know, they started that, remember the MSNBC show, it was at noon with the... It was a circle of, there was two Republicans and Crystal Ball and that year I noticed that MSNBC and I'm sure others started with the false eyelashes and they never looked right. They always look really fake. And I brought that up on Twitter at the time and people said, oh, no, it's a look. It looks really cool. And I was like, no.
They came back in style for some reason and they look ridiculous. I mean, I remember them from the 60s. My mother used to wear them. They were a thing back then, right?
I remember that, yes. And I just think they look so phony and so heavy and uncomfortable. And sometimes you can see the glue and they just don't look...
Sometimes they're sticking up. They look horrible. Whoever said this looks good, especially on TV with HD cameras and stuff.
Oh, no, it looks terrible. IMHO. Yeah. By the way, I do have a couple of tweets from the press White House briefing today, so I'll get to that at the end. Okay. Ned Price, who worked in the Obama administration, said, Sanders Papadopoulos rebuttal distilled, colon. Trump cared so little about policy and governance that he briefly met with his FP advisors only once.
Foreign policy advisors.
Foreign policy, yeah.
Yeah, that was that table that Papadopoulos was sitting at, where Sessions was at one end and Trump was at the other. So he said they only met with them once. Shows what's important in his world.
Exactly. Apparently that was just a photo op to show everybody that he did have foreign policy advisors because he was put on the spot about it. So he came up with a list and that's when Papadopoulos was first mentioned. And he then had him at the table and then he went on to spill his guts to Mueller. So
and maybe,
there you go.
Maybe wore a wire.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he must have. I cannot wait to get those tapes out.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, Howard Fineman, who's now with Huffington Post, said the White House drastically narrowed the scope of its denials in the press briefing just now. No one in, quote, official capacity dealt with Russians.
Ah, I see.
See?
Okay.
See, there's a distinction there.
I got it. So Papadopoulos was not in official capacity. He was only a volunteer.
Yeah, just a volunteer who was a foreign policy advisor and at the table.
And an excellent guy. Just an excellent guy.
An excellent guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have only the best. Yeah. Hunter DK of Daily Kos, he said, so did anyone actually work on the Trump campaign or did everyone just volunteer because they were bored with their money laundering?
I guess that's it.
That got it all in there. That was in one sentence. Oh, by the way, I'm so mad. Twitter's going to go officially to 280. Characters for everybody.
Yeah, you know, and I can always tell the ones that are already at 280 because they're too long.
They're too long. You start wading through. I mean, you know, I use TweetDeck. So what you see is you can set it up with a lot of columns and you see a ton of tweets all at once, like on a grid.
Yep.
And I like the fact that at a glance, I can read a bunch of tweets in one sitting. I can look and catch as they start dropping. When you get 280 characters, they're these long paragraphs, so you can no longer just get a glance and see what's going on. Boy, there's a lot of news breaking on that NYPD responding to reports of shots fired near the World Trade Center, one person in custody.
Oh, good. Well, maybe it's over.
And then HGTV. Why should kids have all the fun? Okay. That was a news alert I got? Why? God. Why did I get that?
You know, one thing about the tweets. There's a new trend on Twitter that I find kind of annoying. It's one thing if somebody's going to talk about, you know, do a thread, but some of these threads go 53 and 54 tweets long. I'm sorry. Write a post. Write a blog post that doesn't belong on Twitter. If you're going to do a two or three parter, you know, occasionally if something's really important, five or six. But I'm sorry, when you're up in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and I saw a 54 tweet one today, take it to a blog.
Yes, I totally agree. I will purposely put the word threadlet up if I see like a three tweet one that I like, because that way people are more likely to read it. Or I'll put up certain tweets from the thread. People will know it's a thread if they see they're labeled with number, you know, numbered, each of them is numbered. But I won't put up a whole, like, here, read this thread real long, because people won't do it.
Although Trip there says in the chat room, I love a good thread. I don't really do blogs, though. So who knows? Yeah, I guess.
Okay. They have their reason to
be. Well, then do Facebook. That's what Facebook is for. Lengthy, you know, posts.
Yeah, but not everybody, like, I hate Facebook. I don't go on to read it, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, David Korn, he tweeted, pretty impressive how the Clinton campaign arranged for Russians to talk to Papadopoulos in order to distract from Uranium One!
Yeah, this Uranium One thing really is insane. And, you know, I tried to follow the story to see what it was. It's something that happened back in 2010, has been debunked over and over again from Snopes, from the Washington Post, from other places.
PolitiFact. Yep, PolitiFact.
And now it's Fox who's pushing it out there. And of course, with a little assist from the White House.
Yes, it was a big nothing burger. And the person they're accusing wasn't even involved for 3 years before the Obama administration came into being, as I recall, the one person that they could be held responsible, if you're going to call it that, was 3 years prior. So you can't even pin it on Hillary, who wasn't there yet. I mean, you know, she wasn't in place yet. So it's so stupid, and people buy into it. And I'm just
nobody gave anything away. It wasn't 20% of our uranium. Nothing about it was true,
and none of it was used for
weaponization.
For weapons,
right?
All right. Yeah. CNN.
Noah Gray. Can I tell you about Noah Gray?
Yes. Could you?
Yes. When I first met Noah Gray, he was 16 years old. He might have been 15. Might have been 15. He was a high school student, and he used to listen when I did mornings on WINZ here in Miami. Aww. And he was a listener, and he was so into the news. And it was the 2008 presidential primary season going on, and he was so into it. He started this thing called Virgin Voting, trying to talk to high school kids about getting registered to vote so that when they turn 18, they can vote. He was a special correspondent on my show. He was like my protege. He was my kid.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
God.
And then he won some award, and his mother invited us. Allison and I went down to the award ceremony when he got this award from his school. Aww. Then he went to college. He went to DC and went to college, and CNN started hiring him to do these little projects. And now, upon his graduation, he was hired as a producer at CNN.
That's so amazing.
Isn't
I love
great
that story.
When I saw him pop up in your tweet spot mentions, I was like, Noah Gray, here's my guy, Noah.
And I didn't even know who he was, because I'm not really into CNN's people. I don't know
and
who
you
they
wouldn't.
Are by
He's
heart.
A producer. He's not
oh,
on
so
the air.
So I wouldn't know him anyway.
No,
yeah.
He's not on the air. He's a producer. But
there you go.
Yeah. Good for him.
Wow.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, that's a good story.
Yes.
Anywho, he said, a source close to White House, quote, these guys were bad guys when they started. They were bad guys when they left, not related to campaign. And then Nick Confessori chimed in, shorter, we hired bad guys. That's pretty much it. I mean, the Trump... anyone connected with Trump is a bad guy. And that's why this John Kelly story that's, you know, bursting out today from that interview is not anything real new about him. In the Department of Homeland Security, you know, he was anti-immigrant. He's carried on. And when he attacked Representative Wilson,
yep.
that was another big explosion of racism.
Yep.
And now you've got him talking about the Civil War as if it's not a done deal. I mean, it is. Well, I cover that into the next tweets. But okay. Anywho,
oh my
that
God.
Was awful.
Unbelievable. Awful. As if there's two sides to it. Unreal.
Exactly. And anyone who signs on to the Trump campaign, how really, I mean, not campaign, I'm sorry, administration, you know where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
If you support Trump, you're supporting racism. If you support Trump, you're supporting bigotry, misogyny, you name it. Anything bad that I can think of, you're supporting. So why would anybody raise their eyebrows if John Kelly says something like that? Anyway, David Cornegan.
Yes.
He said, the bottom line, with the encouragement and knowledge of his Trump campaign supervisors, Papadopoulos tried to set up a private back channel between the Trump campaign and Russia when it was known Putin was attacking the U.S. election. That is the bottom line. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if he was paid or not.
No, the money changing hands is the least of it. The fact right. is he was inside the Trump campaign and he was right. trying to set this up.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Rogue Eric, which is a Rogue Eric Trump parody account.
Okay.
He said, canceling of House of Cards. This is off topic. Canceling of House of Cards just shows we hold our fictional presidents, well, no, to a higher standard than our real one.
Well, true.
True.
But
it's not off topic is what I was saying. I shouldn't have said it was off topic. But we hold our fictional presidents to a higher standard. And today's news broke that they are canceling production on House of Cards. They will not be doing the sixth season.
Wow. Is that, I mean, I saw they suspended production. I didn't know that they had just canceled it flat out.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is suspension, but usually when that happens, they don't bring it back. I mean, from my experience working in TV and my husband's experience all these years, I've mm-hmm. never seen
it come
something
back after that
come back, except for Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was always going to come back. It just took them like 6 years or something.
Right. But it wasn't in a situation like this where they stopped right. production because of allegations right. against the star. Now, I'm really upset about this news because I really have always liked Kevin Spacey. I think he's a
Me
great
too.
Actor. And
but they did cancel it.
They did cancel it. Wow.
Yeah. Call Me Tripp is reporting
it.
In.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that's what they said.
Well,
but
they said it was going to be canceled after the next and final season, which is in production now. And now.
Oh, right. But they stopped doing the production. If they stop production, they're done.
You know, what blows my mind is I'm glad that finally we have a, you know, no tolerance policy for sexual harassment and stuff. Why does it not apply to the president? And did
exactly.
you hear what Sarah Sanders said about this? Hold on, because this I did pull from yesterday. Listen to this.
Obviously, sexual harassment has been in the news. At least 16 women accused the president of sexually harassing them throughout the course of the campaign. Last week, during a press conference in the Rose Garden, the president called these accusations fake news. Is the official White House position that that all of these women are lying?
Yeah, we've been clear on that from the beginning, and the president's spoken on it.
That's it. Yeah, we've been clear on that from the beginning, and the president's spoken on it.
So, and that's why this tweet about canceling House of Cards just shows we hold our fictional presidents to a higher standard than our real one is exactly your point.
Yep.
It is that he's admitted to being a sexual predator, and he's still in the White House.
Yeah.
He's admitted it.
Yep.
We have him on tape talking about
and
it.
And he's a serial sexual predator. Now, we don't
yes.
know, you know, with Kevin Spacey, this is the word of one guy. I'm not saying I'm discounting what he said. What he said was horrible. He was 14 years old when Kevin Spacey threw his body down on top of him. But one allegation, and this could derail this guy's entire career.
Right, right. You're saying, obviously, that the pile on of accusations and the admission by Trump himself mm-hmm. should, of course, qualify him to be kicked out if this is going to get Kevin Spacey kicked out.
Exactly.
So absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
I get your point.
Yep.
Okay, The Hill. Lewandowski. Corey Lewandowski. Former yes. Trumpy and current still talker to Trumper. he said the FBI should have warned Trump campaign about Manafort. the quote from The Hill, Lewandowski said he and Trump never heard from the FBI. If the public reports are true and there was a time when Paul Manafort was under a FISA warrant before coming to the Trump campaign, why is it the FBI never reached out to me as the campaign manager, never reached out to Donald Trump and said, look, you might want to pause for a second and take a look before you bring this guy on board as a volunteer to hunt delegates for you, said Lewandowski. They never did that. He was under a FISA warrant, supposedly. both before and after his tenure at the campaign, and the FBI never notified the leading presidential candidate for a Republican Party race, never notified him of a potential problem. This is a problem with the FBI, if you ask me. David Rothkopf, he's a radio host and author, he said, "Sweet fuck, the chutzpah of this as yet unindicted co-conspirator is world class, up there with Stepford Sarah's nothing to do with us."
Yeah, I guess. And what would they, right? And when does the FBI ever warn an incoming administration, somebody you're about to hire, that, you know, I don't know how we would know you're about to hire them, but somebody you're about to hire, you know, was under a FISA warrant. FISA warrants are top secret, and leaking the identity of someone who's under a FISA warrant is a crime in and of itself.
Right. It's such a good point. Thank you.
No problem.
That was really good.
I didn't even
think of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have like 3 or 4 tweets from today.
Okay.
Okay, Jake Tapper, responding to Trump's tweet, the biggest story yesterday, the one that has the Dems in a dither, is Podesta running from his firm. What he know about crooked Dems is what he know. Anyway, okay. Jake Tapper's answer. Am I to understand that POTUS thinks the part of the Mueller investigation impacting Dems is valid, but hitting GOPers is a witch hunt?
Right. Of course. Again, it goes back to if they're, you know, mean to Trump, then it's fake news.
Exactly. There it is.
If they fawn over Trump, then it's incredible.
It's discredible. Eli Stokels from MSNBC and The Wall Street Journal, he said Huckabee Sanders just called it, quote, absurd and disgraceful to interpret Kelly praising Robert E. Lee as stoking racial division. I've got two more on this.
Okay.
That are just unbelievable. Tom Namaco, is that how you say Namaco of BuzzFeed? Does the White House acknowledge that comment is deeply offensive to some folks and it is historically inaccurate? She said back, no.
Oh, oh my God.
And finally, David Nakamura, Washington Post, where we're at. Sarah Sanders leaves lectern to shouts from April Ryan. Sarah, was slavery wrong?
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's where we are.
Oh, my God.
That is where we are. We are debating the Civil War.
That's amazing.
Is slavery wrong?
You know, I've got a couple to go with this. Renato Mariotti, have you seen him?
Yeah. He's wonderful.
He's running for Attorney General of Illinois now.
Yes.
Former prosecutor. He tweeted, Kelly is half right. The Civil War was caused by an unwillingness to compromise, .. over slavery.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Harry Shearer tweeted, if General Kelly was supposed to be the grown-up in the room needs a couple of toddlers.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I tweeted exactly the same thing. I said, if he's the grown-up in the anyone who thinks he's the grown-up in the room needs to have their head examined.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? How grown-up can this person be?
And from the wishful thinking category, Michael Beschloss, the presidential historian, tweeted, House Judiciary Committee voted to launch inquiry into impeachment of President Nixon today in 1973.
And now we've got the Senate committee, the Intelligence Committee, going pretty much, you know, not the Senate, I'm sorry, the House, going pretty much their separate ways. And the judiciary, was that the one that actually made it official? Like we are going, GOP and Democrats are going to have their own kind of inquiries into Trumpgate. I mean, the congressional investigations are important because the Mueller one is strictly on legal issues,
mm-hmm.
whereas with the congressional ones, they tell us things we need to know and how we can make things better. We try to problem solve and, you know, through lawmaking and through exposure through the Congress and through their investigations. Whereas with the Mueller investigation, it's maybe a wide scope, but it's all legally based. It's
right.
a completely
well,
different thing.
The Mueller investigation can put people in jail. The congressional ones can't, but,
right.
you know, look, it's the House Judiciary Committee that would originate an impeachment inquiry. Right. Not that this one would, because I believe Judiciary is the one with Devin Nunes. If I'm
oh,
getting
yeah.
that
no,
correct.
No, that's Nunes is the
intelligence. Okay.
Yeah, and he's doing everything he can to sabotage that.
Yes, he is.
Lovely.
Yep. You got one or two more?
No, I'm done.
Oh, you're done, and we're just about done. We're done too. Gotta laugh.
So
well, the computer held up, so
yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. Gotta laugh. Find her here every Tuesday, going over her tweet spot, and of course on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at LaffysPlace.com.
That's right, and I will be tweeting my brains out.
All right, tomorrow. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Tomorrow is the day that the health exchange at healthcare.gov goes live. So in honor of that, we'll have Wendell Potter back on the show talking about not only that, what it all means for us, what the Republicans letting CHIP expire means. And he'll also tell us what's happening with his new news organization called Tarbell.org. So all that is tomorrow. Right here on the Nicole Sandler Show. As always, thank you for listening. Thanks for your donations, because it's what keeps us going. I'll see you tomorrow right back here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network.